speak or lead singing or have classes. And so what I've done is I've taken a show on the road, and I have three different congregations that I go and I preach for once a month. I go to Ukiah, I go to Napa, I go to Pine Grove, and I go to Novato. And so, California, obviously. And so I'm very happy to be here. I want to tell you that this particular outline was taken from David Posey. So David Posey is the full-time preacher there at Folsom. And it's really amazing how God works, right? David Posey's father was Leroy Posey. And Leroy Posey was the preacher at Monterey Church of Christ when I was attending there. And Leroy Posey was a dear friend of mine. And we had lunches together every Tuesday. And I miss him dearly. He went home to his reward. And it's just amazing that so many years later, now I attend the same place where his son now preaches. And like some of you, maybe or maybe not, I like top 10 lists. I like the top 10 restaurants. I like the top 10 movies, ideas. I like top 5 singles for the week. We used to listen to Casey Kasem when I was a younger guy. And that top 40, I used to listen to that all the time. Of course, that was before the advent of the internet and what we have now. But so the idea is to give you this evening the top 6 reasons. And I know we could probably give you top 10, top 15, top 20 reasons why you want to go to heaven. But for the sake of time, and try to keep it under an hour and a half, why I want to go to heaven, the top 6 reasons why I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Now, you probably could end the sermon there. And by the way, before I get started, I appreciated, Brother Pat, your sermon today. And then you brought up Philip, and I just don't like it when people do that, because then there's an expectation that I can do something out of Syria. I've never met a eunuch. I don't even know. Just letting you know. And then my mom's back there somewhere, and she named my middle name Paul, so I'm not in chains of Philip Paul. So it's a really tough thing to follow suit in that. But with that said, I don't want to go to hell, okay? You know, when I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s, there was a lot of fire and brimstone that was preached from the pulpit, a lot. It seems like we've gotten our fair share of that, and some gospel preachers have steered away from that in recent years. They don't really talk about hell, but they really need to. People need to be warned that hell is a real place, and it's a very good motivator to push you to do the right things, especially when you're young. When you're young, that idea that the possibility that you can go to a place that looks this way should wake you up, should make you go, I don't want to go there. What do I need to do to stay out of hell? That's where phobias comes from, or fear, a fear of hell. We all are going to appear before the judgment seat. Everybody knows that. So if we're almost appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us receive due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Listen, hell is a real place. It's a sobering thought. Although, it's a good thing to remember, and it works really good. But you know what? It's limited, because we do things from love. We do things because we want to do things, not because we're afraid of going to hell per se. Does that make sense? As you mature as a Christian, you grow more out of the fear and say, okay, I want to do these things now. Not so much out of fear only. But it's a good reason nonetheless. Reason number 5. I like gold. I do. And I like gold. I have to admit, I do like gold, but I do like new things too. I like new. I like improved. And since we are his new creation, if you read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says one sentence. It says, therefore, if anyone is new in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. What do you get by being that new creation? Well, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 18 and 19, it says there's a place that we're going to go. And this place is built out of jasper, pure gold, like glass. Foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, and the fourth emerald. A couple of verses down in verse 21 of Revelation 21 says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made out of a single pearl. Imagine that. A gate made out of a single pearl. The city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I like that. I want to see that. I want to witness that. I want to be there. And in that same chapter, it talks about the city foursquare that we sing about. The city foursquare is 1,500 miles per side. Over 2 million square feet of brand new spanking gold. I want to go there. I like to see that. How do you know you like new? You may be one of those people, no, I like my car. I still have my 93 Ford Ranger. No, I don't like new things. I don't. Well, I got to tell you something. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field that a man finds, right? What does the man go do? He goes and he sells everything he has so he can buy that field. And how happy he was to get that field. Joyous. It should feel that way, that you got it. And I'm joyous because I have this home in heaven that's beautiful gold. That'll lead you the way. Great joy is there. I want to go to heaven because I like gold and new things. Reason number four, why I want to go to heaven. Brethren, life on earth is overrated. And you say, what does that mean, Philip? What are you saying? It's very difficult for me to convince my nephews that life on earth is overrated right now. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. You're not going to make that argument. But I tell you what, when you start putting more miles on it, and you start getting a little bit older, and you start getting a lot older, and this all of a sudden it starts getting a little hard to get out of bed. And pretty soon those aches and pains become more severe aches and pains. You get old, tired, and worn out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, Paul says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. As we look not into the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are seen are eternal. This life is not eternal, brethren. It's not eternal. Therefore, it's overrated. Because Paul tells us again here in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, we are always of good courage. Why? We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage because we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This is overrated. And if you don't believe me, try this analogy because it worked on me. I thought it was pretty good. Let's say you have a three-day weekend. And let's say you want to go to the Marriott for a three-day weekend. Right? You get to the Marriott, you get into your habitation, you're right there. You walk in and you go, you know what? I really don't like the carpets in here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rip up all these carpets. I'm going to put down hardwood floor. And then when I get done with that, I really don't like that dresser. I'm going to buy me a brand new dresser. I'm going to put it right there. I'm going to get me a widescreen TV. I'm going to get all these things that I want. You get all that installed, and guess what? 3 days later, you get to check out. And guess what you get to do? You get to leave it all to the Marriott. That's what you get to do. Now, probably would never get invited back to the Marriott again if you did that. Because they'd be like, what are you doing? But you understand what I mean? We put so much attention, so much pressure on ourselves to get these things that are in our midst. When at the end of the day, you're on a three-day weekend, you're going to check out. Think about that. I like the analogy because it worked for me. Because I'm like, why in the world would I do that? Don't we do that? Don't people do that? Reason number three, why I want to go to heaven. That's my baby picture. No. I don't like to cry. I don't know too many people that really want to cry. But you know what? There is so much sorrow here, brother. There's so much sorrow. We read, we see daily violence that occurs, man against man. We see the hunger, we see the thirst, we see starvation, we see homelessness, we see hopelessness. We see political corruption from our state to federal level. Things that frustrate us that this is terrible. I don't like to cry. We all encounter pain and sorrow and those things we encounter, but you know what? They're momentary times of affliction and preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. These trials and these pains and these sorrows that we go through are temporary and they will pass. And we'll get to the reason why there's no tears in heaven and why we should go there. Because at the throne of God will serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them in springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Did you ever realize that there's no tears in heaven because there's no sorrow? There's no pain. It doesn't exist. I can't fathom that, me being human and fleshly. I don't understand that, but I believe it. And since that's the truth, I want to go there. I don't like to cry. I really don't, brethren. We're getting towards the end, so my mom picked this one out last night. Number two, why I want to go to heaven? People I love are already there. The people I love are already there, brethren. I cannot tell you how blessed I've been. I obeyed the gospel October 1st, 1980. And I can tell you, in my years, I have met so many phenomenal, fascinating, loving Christians that have gone to their reward. And they have left behind spouses. And I've seen sorrow and tears. I've felt them. We all have, right? But you know what? They're there. They're waiting for us there. They'll be there. I want to go there because I want to see them again. I want to know that I can be there with them. But I have heard this comment before, and I must say, there are some people that believe we don't keep our individualism when we pass from this life to the next. And I guess in the grand scheme of things, if you become that spirit and you're in the presence of God and we're all singing his praises, then that's okay with me. But you know, I still believe that you retain your individualism. And I have a couple of examples why I think that way. Number one is because if you remember what Jesus says about the rich man and Lazarus, right? The rich man identifies Lazarus and sees Lazarus and says, "Send Lazarus back to warn my family, to warn my brothers." Why would Jesus tell us to that? Why wouldn't Jesus just say, "Send Lazarus," or the rich man would say, "Send anyone back. Send someone back." No, he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. I believe we keep our individualism. And if that's not good enough, let's talk about 2 Samuel chapter 12. We all know about David's affair with Bathsheba and the first son that they had. The child was struck with illness. In 2 Samuel, we read that the baby was very sick, and David fell on the ground and he cried and he moaned and he prayed and he fasted for the child to survive, that God would be merciful and save the child, to the point where his servants were concerned about his well-being. And then later David perceives that the child is dead, and he asks the servants, and they were mortified because of the way he was acting. And they said, "Yes, he's dead." David arises from the ground. He bathes. He takes food. He goes to the temple to worship. And the servants are, "What is wrong with you? When he was alive, you were upset and you were distraught and you wouldn't eat. And now that the child is dead, you act this way. What did David say? Somebody tell me. That is just so intense. I shall go to him. He can't return to me. He can't return to me. I shall go to him. And I believe, brethren, that David saw his son that day he crossed over. I believe that. I believe you keep your individualism. Our citizenship is in heaven. I have a lesson that I wrote about. I was really frustrated about where I perceived our country was going. I don't agree with a lot of the things that are going on, but this isn't a political sermon, not at all. But one thing it did help me realize is that I may be a citizen of the United States, but you know what? My citizenship is in heaven. So it really doesn't matter what happens here. What happens is your citizenship in heaven. And you know that heaven is a kingdom, right? We've heard the term heavenly kingdom. What does it take to have a kingdom? You need a king and you need subjects. So it's about who's there in heaven. It's about that. It's about who's there. And I want to go to heaven because the loved ones that I've missed so dearly are there waiting for me. The number one reason why I want to go to heaven is because Jesus is there. Have you ever stopped to consider that everything that we've talked about and everything that we enjoy by coming here would be impossible without the Son of God? Have we ever really stopped to think about the sacrifice that was made and the result of that sacrifice gives us the ability to be saved? He's there. You get to meet him. You get to get his autograph, like I would like to put things. You get to see him. And he's there. And you remember when the Jews surrounded Stephen and began pelting him with rocks? What he said? At the end, he said, but full of the Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is there. And we get to see him. And not only that, if that wasn't good enough, we're going to put a crown on your head too. Therefore is laid up to heaven me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but who else? All of those who love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? I know you love his appearing. You know how I know? Because you're here. And that's what waits for us, brethren. That's why I want to go to heaven, because Jesus is there. He's our hope. He's standing there waiting for us. Grow in his grace and knowledge. He is our best friend. And I want to see him. Besides, brethren, won't heaven surely be worth it all? Surely it'll be worth it all. In closing, I'd like to review why I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I like that one. That's good. I like gold. I like that one too. Life on earth is overrated, and I don't like to cry. The people I love are already there. And what's the last one? See if you're paying attention. Jesus is there. Brethren, the lesson is yours this evening. I appreciate the time to be able to speak to you today. This gentleman right here, his name was Richard Baxter, and he was from the 16th. I guess that would be the 17th century, I guess. Whatever. Dates are right there. But in my research of going through some of the things that were pertaining to this lesson, I came across this poem, and I would like to share it with you. It's kind of hard to understand unless you know the old English way of saying things, but I'll give it a shot. Lord, it belongs not in my care, whether I die or live. To love and serve thee is my share, and this thy grace must give. If death shall braise this springing seed before it comes to fruit, the will with thee goes for the deed. Thy life was in the root. Thou leadest me through no darker rooms than Christ went through before. He that into thy kingdom comes must enter by this door. Come, Lord, when grace made me meet thy blessed face to see, for if thy work on earth be sweet, what will thy glory be? Thy knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it's enough. My God knows all. And I shall be with him. Brethren, the lesson is yours this evening. If you need to respond to the invitation, we'll have a song at this time. If you know what you need to do to be saved, you've heard the gospel, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sin, stop sinning and turn around and go the other way. If you're willing to do that, you confess the name of Jesus as your Savior and you can be baptized this evening. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we all know what the Bible says. The prayer of a faithful man achieveth much. Imagine a group of Christians praying on your behalf. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, will you please let that be known as we sing the song of encouragement.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart in secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees?